All right, the Lord is good. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the gathering of your people. I thank you because of the blessing that you have proposed, which is the reason why we are all gathered. I ask, Father, that your spirit will be as usual and in greater measure also mightily present to endow your people with wisdom and understanding and to lead them in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. Lord, give everyone understanding hearts and give me, Lord, a free tongue to declare only what your spirit wants us to know. In Jesus' name, the Lord is good. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin. It said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware," or King James says ignorant. It says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols. However, you were led." That is, it wasn't you. Somebody showed you the pathway. All right? So what you have as understanding is dependent upon what the other person had as confusion, if you know what I'm trying to say. He said, "Therefore, I make known to you," that is, I'm introducing the new order, I'm giving you the proper understanding, "that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Let me, I won't read everything before I start passing comments. Is that all right? Now, what I want to just, let me explain a few things here. Verse 1, Paul was trying to explain what he said is that concern, literally in the Greek, he says, "Now concerning spiritual things," or concerning the spiritual, or concerning the realm of the spirit. If you see in verse 1 there, if you have a Bible that uses the word gifts, either you use New American Standard like I'm using, or you use a King James Bible, the word gifts will be in italics. Now, can you notice that? Yes. Now, just for those of us who do not know, I wish to explain it. Anytime you see the Bible put something in italics, what it's saying is that when the original Greek manuscript, because New Testament was translated from Greek, that word does not exist in the Greek language, in the text of Scripture, but was supplied, they call it ellipsis, it was supplied to make sense out of it. Now, I don't discard it easily, because it's supplied by scholars, people who've read it in context, and without that expression, they will not be able, you will not be able to understand what the whole thing is about. But literally what it said is that concerning spiritual brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or unaware. Now that doesn't make sense in English, but then I like to say to you so that you'll be able to get the concept behind it. That is, he said, I want to talk about spiritual things. That's why you will see some translations who rather use the word spiritual things rather than spiritual gifts. And that's the fact that what he's talking about is about spiritual things, things that have to do with the realm of the spirit, things that are beyond the natural occurrence of things. And he wanted to begin to discuss about that. And he said, before now, this is the point, everybody, all right, people that knew about spiritual things, they only knew what the practices, the idolatrous practices in their societies dictated. So you see, a lot of things that people express, okay, they try to convert things of idolatry into Christianity because they were led in a particular form. I remember one man was preaching once and he was trying to talk about money. And, you see, you say, "Pastor Bank, what's your problem with this money thing?" It's just that he's so talked about that I can't help it, all right? Everywhere I go, I hear it. I think TV, it is there. But this one I want to say is not because I'm angry with people who talk about money too much. There's nothing wrong with talking about money, but too much of everything is bad. If you talk about the Holy Spirit too much, it can be too much. Once it's too much, it is because it's too much. You understand what I'm saying? But this one, I'm just going to talk about things with this one because it really happened. The man was describing why it is good to give to God. And listen, let me just say this. I think, go and read my track, Cheerful Giver. Any believer that's not a generous giver is an idiot. So that's the summary of it. Do you get my point? I don't need to say beyond that. If you live only for yourself, you spend, "I don't have enough money, this is all I have, just for me and me and me alone." Something worry you for head and for neck also. Do you get what I'm saying? You're not. No, as a matter of fact, you are not of faith. You are not likely to prosper in life. And that's scripture. Do you get my point? What I'm just angry with people concerning is that when they say that you can't get anything out of God until you give him first, I say it's not true. When you want something from God, what do? You ask him, but you cannot have faith in your heart. That's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, to explain the power of having faith, that is the ability to believe. That comes naturally and easily to the man who's of a generous heart, who's of a generous spirit. Abraham's faith was built into him by God, partly because God saw the kind of character that he had in his soul. Are you getting my point? That is, a giver actually is a good person, all right? Even the Bible tells that for a righteous man, nobody will die. He said, but for a good man, some may even agree to die. That is, there's a difference between righteousness and goodness. A generous man is a good man. It's different from a righteous man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Righteous is that you are doing things correctly. Goodness is that you go beyond that which the law demands, and you do something. It costs you, but you help somebody else. And there's a special blessing upon people who are generous givers. That's a matter of fact. I need to say this. So you don't think that I'm against it at all. No. I think, in fact, I feel funny. What we'll preach sometimes, we preach, bring money to people who are wicked. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You see a wicked man sitting down, he will never give anything to anybody. So as to take out of him, I start cajoling him. Do you know you can double your money you have in 1 week if you just release it unto the Lord? God can, you are preaching to a wicked man. A kind man, you don't need to do that. You just tell him simply, brethren, this is the work of God. We need money to do it. And like the Macedonians, the Bible said they gave out of the depths of their poverty. Yes. You don't need to beg them. So what are we supposed to do as Christians? We convert wicked souls to good souls first. Are you getting my point? We don't leave him in his wickedness and start appealing to his fleshly and unregenerated nature so as to get out of his hands. What do? We preach the word of truth to him. You see, we convert his soul by the teaching of the truth of God. He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Are you getting what I'm going to say? It's the truth that changes people. Sanctify means to make holy. A man who was living for himself before, you convert him to one who's living for God. Why? By the preaching of truth. Are you getting my point? That is, as far as God is concerned, he doesn't want the money that the stingy man wants to give, because there's an evil spirit inside the money. The spirit following it is wicked. Now, are you getting what I'm going to say? So that is why, as a preacher, you don't want... The Bible says that God is acceptable according to what a man has, for God loves a cheerful giver. Read that tract, Cheerful Giver. It's I think, one of the most powerful tracts I ever wrote. Because I explained to people that cheerful giving is not about dancing. Hey, give. Hey, dance as you are giving. That's not cheerful giving. A man who's a cheerful giver can be asleep and he gives in his sleep and he's cheerfully giving. There are a lot of people who are dancing. Their dance is like, God, just take the 1,000 naira. It's 1 million naira. That's our deal. And they are dancing onto the 1 million. It's not a cheerful giver. That's a thief-free giver. You know what I'm saying? A stealing giver, a covetous giver. Okay? So, now, that's digression. Now, let me now see my message. What was I trying to say? So this man was preaching about money. He came to raise money, and that's what he was trying to do. But he now began to explain something. Why one should give generously? There are sometimes here that they want to harm people. And they have gone like Balaam. I mean, he turned to something like Balaam, that they've gone to a high mountain to go and sacrifice a goat so as to harm somebody else. Offer unto the gods. And these things, again, they are spiritual. Are you getting my point? They are not jokes. They really happen. And you see an account of it in scripture that Balaam was trying to harm the children of Israel. You know that. And he began to make sacrifices. So the man was trying to explain that, you see, some people say they have gone to sacrifice goats. He said, by the time you are sacrificing a cow, I have sacrificed a car. Now, which one is more expensive, a cow or a car? That he said they bury cow because of people. He said, me, I have already given an offering of a car. What is the cost of a Mercedes Benz compared to the cost of a cow? When I heard that, I said, this is ritual ignorance. It's not the cost, it's the blood. A car doesn't have blood, a cow does. If you want to warfare on such premises, you've lost before you started. A man will sacrifice chicken and kill you. If you like, sacrifice a skyscraper. Because there is blood inside the one he's sacrificing. Your own hasn't got blood.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what I'm going to bring out here is this. That he said, you know that you were, that when you were pagans, you were led astray to dumb idols, however you were led. Paul was explaining that people come, they want to understand spiritual things in Christianity. They start using pagan principles. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that's what this man was doing. He thinks the completion of the size of your offering. But in Christianity, it is not a competition of size of offering. The point is that if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. That's number one. The Bible says that your life is hid with Christ in God. Sacrifice or not. You get what I'm going to say? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Sacrifice or not. Are you getting what I'm going to say? When Balaam was offering sacrifices, the children of Israel were sleeping. So it's not a battle of before your enemies come to harm you, give a great offering. That, you see, to me, that's the ridicule of Christianity. It is absolutely ridiculous. Paul said the problem is that we want to talk about spiritual things. We are re-educating people who the only knowledge they had about spiritual things were taken from dumb idols. Do you get my point? People sometimes want to preach the principles of Christianity. They will now explain to you that in the realm of the occult, this is how they do. That's their problem. They were led onto what? Dumb idols. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make from here? So Paul said, now, let me now explain spiritual experiences to you. Therefore, I make known to you, he says, that no one speaking by the Spirit of God. Now, he was talking about people speaking under a spiritual influence. All right? Can say Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except he is speaking. Now, I'm paraphrasing now. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, people can get up and talk anyhow. And say they can act movie. You've seen people who don't believe in God speak in tongues during movies. You've seen it. Do you get my point? So they are just playing. But Paul is describing here when there are spiritual experiences. A spiritual manifestation. One who claims to is prophesying. And you see the fellow is under the influence of the Spirit. Dare him to say Jesus is Lord. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's why you know the man I'm always laughing about. He can preach all he wants to preach. Tell him to tell us the day he gave his life to Christ. He does not know. Tell him to tell us what happened to him as a young believer. There's no story. The man is not spiritual. Forget all that one. Let me not even go into his own story. But I'm explaining what Paul is saying here. That when we're talking about manifestation of the Spirit, it's impossible for a spiritual occurrence to be happening. Not by the Spirit of God, and the person is able to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. That's what he was saying. All right? Now, let's just go on. He was still introducing. Now, part of the introduction now goes ahead to say, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, please, let me just read in the Amplified Bible there. It said, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments or gifts and extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. It said, due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'll explain that in a moment. I just read that from the Amplified Bible to help us understand something. Now, so it said that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Bible says that we have gifts that differ, all right, according to the grace given to us. The next line, I'll explain some more about this. And there are varieties of ministries. That's verse 5. And the same Lord, that is, each person has an assignment. The first one, he talked about the fact that each person has an endowment. Now, no matter the endowment that they have, how varied it is, beyond that, we also have different uses of that endowment. That is, a man may prophesy, all right, and another man might teach. Another man might have the ability to make unique inventions. These are all manifestations of the Spirit. Are you getting my point? He said, but what each person uses his own for, again, is different. One man will prophesy and is prophesying against government. Tunde Bakare, case in point. Do you understand my point? He's a prophet. And believe me, if you didn't know before, Dima Kelly has a calling to do what he's doing. If you try it, oh boy, and God didn't send you, in fact, you will know that it's against divine principle. and divine order to speak against government except God specifically commissions you to do that. It's against it. That's why you will get into trouble. You will, because you are breaking his divine law. All right? What you are supposed to do is to pray for the government. All right? I used to tell people that I never one day spoke against Abacha. One day until he died, I never did. It was against the law of God. I never did it. All right? Yes, that's a matter of fact. But Nebuchadnezzar will go on TV and say anything he likes. He has a kind of gift to you I didn't have. I knew a lot of prophets who tried that and they got into trouble. All right? People like him, the kind of endowment of the gift of God that follows him, be afraid. Do you follow what I'm saying? You don't just copy them anyhow. It's still prophesying. But then, ministry refers to what God has commissioned you to do. Are you getting my point? Smith Wigglesworth used to say something. That I know so much about God, so much more than I'm able to teach. Because if I teach them those things, I lose the ability to win souls. Do you get what I'm saying? He's a preacher. But when it comes to teaching, if he reads Smith Wigglesworth's books, you wonder what he's trying to say. But the man was heavily anointed, power in his hand. I'm talking about ministries. People have different things that God commissioned them to do. All right? Now, I like the way it says in Amplified verse 5, he said, there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so that's what he was saying now. I said, and there are diversities. That's the verse 6. Now, let me go back to the New American Standard again. Verse 6, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. He has said three things here. Number one, the ability that God gives to people differ. Number two, where he sends them or how he expects them to use the ability, they differ. And number three, what you will see as a consequence of what they have done also differs. But it's the same God who is working all things in all persons. Now, what he was saying here is that you see that Paul plants, Apollos watered. We've discussed that one before. But who gave the increase? God. So the kind of manifestation you see is not dependent upon whether it's Paul that planted or was Paul's planting or Apollos watering. What matters is that they have done what God said they should do. Then God now does what he wants to do as a result, okay, of their administration. That's what it means when it says God that works all things in all persons. Do you follow? You know, then in the summary of everything is in verse 7. Now, whatever it is that we are seeing, whether it is gifts, whether it is ministries or services, how we use it, or the effect that we find once we have done what God said we should, how God said we should use our gifts in where he sent us to use it, is that whatever it is we see, the summary of it in verse 7 is this: to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Are you noticing that? That is, every experience you see is a manifestation of the Spirit, and God gives it in such a manner that it blesses everyone. He said, he now began to tell us those manifestations. Or I don't know whether to put it as like gifts now or whatever. But from verse 8, we now see him itemizing 9 different things, which have been classified into power gifts, utterance gifts, and revelatory gifts. He said, to one is given the word of wisdom. We'll discuss what each one is. And to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Okay, now he's talking about the varieties of gifts that people use. To each one is given, to one is given the word of wisdom. That's a gift because it's talking about by the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting or the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing or discerning of spirits. He said, to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of these tongues. That's what he was saying. He said, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. I don't think it's easy to explain that without reading the next line. He said, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. We'll continue from verse 13 after we finish discussing this one. Now, what's he explaining? If I read from verse 12, what Paul was saying in effect, you know, one of the things we find these days about Christianity, I want to just explain that, is that people tend to camp around gifts. I don't know whether you get what I mean. That is, if you find a man who prophesies heavily, he builds a church around the ability to prophesy. That is, on Sundays, people go to the church and they become members of the church where the man prophesies a lot. Now, let me, it's actually an error. You see, we can see things so commonly, we don't know how wrong they are. Then there's another church in which all we do here is evangelism. So you go to church, all it's all centered around evangelism. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Because a man has gifts. There's a particular man of God in this country. I'll give you as an example. I won't mention his name. Don't worry. You can't even get me to tell you who I'm talking about. I've been around a bit. I hear things here and there, and I remember them because it helps me explain the word of God, and it teaches me, actually. The man was an evangelist. What you and I call an evangelist. You go around, work miracles, convert people to Christ, preach to large multitudes. Another bigger man of God than him, where I heard later, kept on emphasizing to him that you need to start a church. And that one refused for a very long time. You need to start a church. And that one refused for a very long time. And then one day, finally, the man started the church. And the church began to grow. When I heard the story, I said, that's an error. In my mind, now I can't judge the things of other people so much. I just have an opinion. I said, no, that's not right. No. In my mind, I just said, no, this is not right. Well, the church kept on growing. And somebody, depending on narrating the story to me, said that after I started that church, his ministry just exploded. I said, no, that's not proof that he did the right thing. The one that springs up quickly doesn't have deepness of earth. So don't be impressed by sudden results. In my mind, no. The fact that you can preach doesn't mean you must gather people and call them your own and it becomes a church. Okay, let me say this to you. Now, there are ideal things. Ideal things sometimes are difficult to practice, but at least we must know what is ideal so that we don't get stuck with the management that God is allowing us to manage. As things improve, we can get better. What we practice in denominationalism right now, in the body of Christ, is not ideal. But are you saying, stop all denominations? No, it won't work the other way anyway. Do you get what I'm saying? Deeper life people cannot go to church without the rock people. It's not possible. God will not even come there. When they gather like this, God says, no, I don't know these people. No, even God won't show up. Because the amount of disagreement in their hearts, yeah, God won't come now. God will not come. He said, Gabriel, please, I have other things to do. Those people, once you enter church, and I saw the ladies go, just look at each other like this. Look at you, Jezebel. Look at you, wife of John the Baptist. And so they go, look at each other. So, I know it won't work. I know it won't work. But at least you know what is ideal, all right? The reason why it won't work is because everybody is crazy. That is the reason why it won't work. It is not because it is not right. Because all of them are not normal. That's the reason why it won't work. All of us, don't let me say all of them. All of us, all right? We're all together in this our madness. So this is the point I'm making. No, really, it's a matter of fact. And I'm telling you. Now, the ideal thing, actually, is that the ideal thing is that you should be one church in a place like Enugu. Churches are meant to be located by geography, not by denomination. Do you get my point? That is, the Okan man cannot come to church here. It doesn't make sense. Do you follow my point? So in Enugu, there will be a church. And then in Enugu, there will be branches everywhere. Simply because all of us shouldn't get up and start checking all the way to Okan because we want to go for service. Those in Trang Sekulu can have their branch, but we're all members of one body. Do you get my point? Now, you now have gifts operating that differ individually, which is one reason why I do what I do. All right, which is the reason why I announced like I announced. This is Kingdom World Ministries. It's a non-denominational teaching ministry. Do you understand? I go to church on Sundays, but on Saturdays, I exercise my gift accordingly. So whether you're a Baptist, you're Anglican, you're a Catholic, you're a Pentecostal, whatever it is that you are, all right, if you see yourself as a member of that body, you can go and listen to the gift of God in Pastor Banky. Are you getting my point? And then after that, you go back to where you came from. All right, I don't need you to be my member to be blessed by me. Because I, you know, like I was saying, was it on Saturday or Monday? I don't know. I said, no, there's no head of any denomination that died for me. None. I'm in Enugu now. I attend House on the Rock. I came from Lagos. I attended House on the Rock for a few services. In all my 7 or 8, I went to Lagos in 1993. I left in 2000. 7 years I was in Lagos. I can count the number of services I went for in House on the Rock, Lagos. Do you get my point? I leave town now. Nobody's even expecting that yet. You can't guarantee that I'll go to another and say, please, where's the House on the Rock church here? The same way I arrived here, all right, is how I arrived to the next place. If tomorrow I get leave here and they say, okay, oh, you are going to worry, I'll get to worry and just go to where I feel at home. Are you getting the logic? Why? There is no head of any denomination that died for me. None. Except God calls me for certain reasons to walk with you, I can't give you any commitment. I can't. No, that's the principle. Look, people don't like to hear it's their personal problem. In fact, you know one of the things that God did for me is very, very good. Listen, when I was on campus, my fellowship was called Light of Christ Community Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Let any Pentecostal who taught me on campus come and lay claim now. Look, listen, my brethren, that time I wasn't married. No, we come very, very, we come from a friendly group of people. I wasn't married. I remember Momian was telling me one day, he said, Banky, he said, look, don't think you can just bring wife from anywhere for us. We have to find a wife for you by ourselves. You know, like, you are our property. He said, and she made a statement which touched my heart, actually. He said, after all the labor we labored on you, somebody will just appear from somewhere, come and reap the reward of our labor. He said, we'll not go agree. I knew what she was saying. Now, you see, because, no, well, wonderful people. Well, God solved all her problems by giving me my wife from the midst of these people. Do you get what I say? Otherwise, it would have been a problem for me. But of course, it's not that she was just speaking because there are members amongst us that their wives or their husbands didn't come from the midst. We're not making a rule. In fact, that would be evil in itself. All right? But I'm just using that story to let you understand that nobody can now demand anything of me. You were not even there when we're being taught these fundamental truths of the gospel. One of my colleagues, Dr. Nzegu, if you get to this in UNEC here, I tell people that the first day I entered that fellowship, he was teaching Bible that day. That day I entered, he was there dissecting scripture in front. If I mention names of people from here and there, friends who will come and say, Banky, you haven't heard this message, you haven't heard anything. Take. And all of them, some pastor in this kind of denomination, some are businessmen here, they're in different places. I really enjoyed relating with them. There are those who are big men in some big churches. Some are in Redeem. Some are in Christ Embassy. And they're in every, there are all kinds of places. If you are crazy enough to want to lay claim upon their life, something really must be wrong with your head. You should ask yourself, where did they come from? Where was I when they were coming from those places? You follow what I'm trying to say? You see, that's what, I'm going to bring out something about different gifts. All right, each person has an ability. The mistake we make these days is that people build denominations around it. So that particular man was telling you about, what happened is that he now built a denomination. They say his ministry now exploded. Years later down the line, he had terrible crisis, the type you don't want to hear about. People were saying, how could he, in my mind, all that came to my mind, I said, you see, these quick results I've won is not good. I know this is Banky's assessment. Like Paul would say, but I think I have the Spirit of God. I'm not judging him. I'm not angry with him. He's not my servant. But I just observed the kind of thing that opened people up to these kind of troubles. As far as I am concerned, it was when he agreed to settle down and build a congregation around his gift. It was not necessary. Rehum Bokni does not pastor a church. He's all over the world. Which church did Billy Graham pastor? I don't know. Kennedy Hagin. Few people blessed their generations like he did. He stopped pastoring as a young man. Ken Hagin Ministries never, it was later his son had a church on the premises. Just used to attend like everybody else. But he was going everywhere, preaching, teaching the word of God. He wrote many books, scores of books, all right? He hundreds of, thousands of his messages all over the world. He started Rima Bible Training Center, training ministers for 2 years and sending them to every continent of the earth. And he used to warn, please, if you want to wait, don't call us. We don't wait people. Want to do baby dedication, don't come here. Go to your church. Don't you go to church somewhere. That's the emphasis. Go to church somewhere, but come and partake of our gifts. And he used to go from one church to the other. From one church to the other, teaching the word of God. Are you getting my point? This is, we have this evil that we are perpetrating amongst ourselves. One man builds a denomination around him, trains people under him, and they recycle themselves. We call it recycling. You recycle yourself from one branch to the other. When I'm saying, I don't mean that posting pastors, that's not what I'm talking about. That the pastor of the Lagos church will go and preach in the Abuja church. Then the pastor of the Port Harcourt church goes to preach in the Owerri church. It's only them, all of them cross-fertilizing, descendant of only one man. That man doesn't make mistakes, you get the point. He doesn't make mistakes. He's infallible as far as doctrine is concerned. And that's what they say. And he's silly enough to believe it. That's your problem. You won't find me. There's places you won't find me at all. You won't find me there at all. Go and study genetics. There's what we call inbreeding. Inbreeding is a terrible thing. Those of you who have studied biology to that level. Inbreeding is a terrible thing. For those of you who don't know what inbreeding is, let's assume you have dogs. Papa dog and mama dog born puppy dogs. You know, animals are animals. They will grow up. They don't know who's whose father, whose mother. They'll start mating again. Then you see, they are getting, they are a clan of papa dog and mama dog. By the time they're reaching a few generations, the offsprings will start dying. They have become weak. To prevent that, what you do is that you separate them. You bring dogs from elsewhere to cross the ones that are in here. And they will remain strong. Otherwise, you are doing what they call inbreeding. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, what we do in Christian Sunday, we inbreed. I teach you something. Only me can teach you. The rest of you don't know anything. You can't dare come to my pulpit and quote that you heard somebody else. What thing they do you? I, Pastor Mankey, I know everything. On the Holy Spirit, I'm the authority. On Second Coming of Christ, I wrote the Bible in that area. On spiritual gifts, nobody knows more than me. Marriage, I'm a professor. Prosperity, I wrote all the theses. At the end of the day, you need nothing more in life than me. I told you I heard the man of God preach. Am I not your pastor? Am I not your prophet? Am I not your teacher? Am I not your evangelist? I said, Oga, you know the VSF. Only you. Don't you think your head will just explode one day? Bishop Oedipo used to say some of those days that make us laugh. He said, there's nothing more. He said, look, if they give you an office that is, it was I said that there are different between oversized shoes and oversized caps. That if you start, living larger than yourself, or you take up a responsibility that's bigger than you. He said, that's oversized shoe. That's the way he explained it. But the one I remember is what they call it, is oversized cap. He said, a man with oversized shoe can see where he's going, just that he can't move easily. He said, but the one with oversized cap, he can't see anything. Because his cap is bigger than his head. So it drops, over his shoulders. He said, what's an oversized cap? It's when you give a man a title bigger than him. Bishop, doctor, professor, supreme evangelist, and most superior teacher, woman. And he sees actually silly enough to wear a robe, that shows the power, the gift he has. He said, the problem with some people is that when he's supposed to sit down and learn, he doesn't. Someone was telling me about one pastor in Abuja. One day he invited the pastor of Winners to come and preach. And the pastor of Winners told him that, look, he just suggested, your pastor is a very, very nice man. He said, how do I know? He said, because every Sunday, when he will finish his service and run out of church to go and attend service in Winners. He's a pastor of a big church. If I tell you the name, you'll be surprised. Pastor of 1,000 congregation. Settled pastor, the kind of pastor that if he's among other people, the head will have been, they have to, will have been on this level. They will have to elongate his neck for how big he's feeling with himself. This guy will sneak to the other church and go and learn what he doesn't know. His own midweek service is on Wednesday. Their own is Tuesday and Thursday. So he goes to their church on Tuesdays and Thursdays and comes to his own church on Wednesday. So the pastor said, of course, the pastor of the other church, of Winners, that one used to see him. But so as to, he wasn't my son, so he didn't want to embarrass him. He used to ignore him. So it was the day the guy invited him to his own church to come and preach. Then after everybody said, your pastor think I don't see him. I see him. I just leave him alone so as not to embarrass him. The guy will come in gently like every, that is, no special seat, nothing. Just walking like everybody else. Sit down somewhere with his notes and his Bible. And at least, I don't know everything. What other people, know that I don't know, I should go and learn it. Remember one day one man of God came to town. I told my wife, I can't miss any of the services. Everyone, in fact, there was one day like this here. The man was going to preach that evening. It was Saturday. So I was preaching. Praise God. I said everything wrong that day. You know why? Because my mind wasn't here. I was checking the time. Because I had to close. I had to go and hear something. That was somebody that could teach me something, I would talk after some time. Even the recording, the computer crashed. I said, the computer was in the recording. Crashed. As soon as we finished, one, the thing crashed. I said, praise God. I knew this thing wasn't going to work. As soon as I finished, I just ran downstairs, entered my car, and went to the other person who was teaching. Hey, No, serious. I knew that day I wasn't supposed to be here. I just managed to rush everything. The whole thing scattered. I preached upside down. What I preached that day didn't make sense. There's no record of it till today because when we're recording on the computer spot, I said, praise God. Jetted out somewhere. Yeah. Let me go and hear something. It's true. You think you know everything, you won't live long. Believe me, you won't. You will not. All right? So what I'm going to explain something. So that's the principle. That what Paul was explaining is this. You see, with all one body. So each person has a gift and is used for the common good. Are you getting the point I'm making? But the mistake we make now is that we now want to use it for our own good. You know? It's just our church is only us alone. Everybody that shows up, we have a new member. Look, he's not a member. He heard you can teach. He heard you can prophesy. So he came to take a part because the Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. You get the point? And that's the point. So I was saying that the ideal thing is ideal. We can't reach there, but then we can get there in spirit. We may not all be members of Church of Christ Enugu, but in spirit we can be. Do you follow my point? I go somewhere and say, oh, look at what these people are doing here. They have a program. I check who's coming to teach. I heard this man, the professor, or now prophet. Don't think when I stay on that ministry of prophet before. I don't know the church. I'm not a member of the church. I don't go there normally, but they have a special program. Okay, this man, they are bringing this prophet from Ghana. It's a prophetic meeting. Pastor Mark says, you don't prophesy usually. Why don't you go and chop from from others who can prophesy? So we all go there and go and sit down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You jump, clap at the end of the day. You don't need introduction. Oh, we have Pastor Bank in our midst today. Why? You have another brother Bank in your midst today. He came to hear. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. Yes. You just go and identify. Those are when I first go to Lagos. Let me tell you, after youth service. My youth service period was such a lean season. So as soon as youth service ended and I got to Lagos, you know what I used to do? As I'm walking on the road, I will see a poster. I will bring out a piece of paper. You know, I was a JJC in Lagos. I'd never really been to Lagos before, apart from once or twice, you know. I was what they call JJC. You know, this one, BJC, Banky Just Come. All right, there's just Johnny Just Come. It was Banky Just Come. I didn't know anywhere. So what I would do is I would take paper and look, I would write, you know, write the address down. And I'd go home, the way I was staying with my relations. And then I would now ask the driver. I said, I beg. How did they get to this place? The man will tell you take your bus from here, you go here, take it, cross a bridge, do this, you work out good like this, as it described, thank you very much. And that the particular day, I get up and go to the place. That's how I went for Maurice Cerullo's meeting at Trem. Okay? Maurice Cerullo himself was not around. His second in command came. I was there. That's how come I was in this meeting where Ron Kenoly taught. That's how come you will find me in places where people like Noel Woodruff was teaching. When Ron Kenoly came that time with my JJC nature, I used to get back home at 12 midnight because it was what do you call it? First stack. What do you call that place? Oh, I forgot. CCIC or something like that. Somewhere. That's how, look, long distance. Church will end around 10:30. The Mulo will carry all of us. Mile 2. It was, from mile 2. No, mile 12. Yes. And then down to Oshodi. From Oshodi, you will come trek down. If you don't find vehicle, now to trek down to Association Avenue. That's where I was staying there. Did I care whose denomination it was? No, it was none of my business. I went everywhere, like I always say, listening to the word of God. Anywhere I saw teaching, that's how I used to do it though. I used to go around writing, copying addresses from posters. This man came to the town that time, Emeka Mashuka. I was there. We just go around. The church you came from is your personal problem. It isn't concerning me. Are you getting what I know you say? Once I feel like you have something that is going to be a blessing to me, it's not as if that man is not in our church. No, there are churches that nobody preaches who's not a member of the church. No matter how great and big you are, don't come in. But it's not right. It's not right. All right? So that's the point I'm just trying to make. Building gifts, but building congregations around gifts is not right. Now, let's now describe what you find. Now, before I go on, let me just say something. The only person I've seen settle down to analyze this in a manner that has been a blessing to me, which I was able to understand, even though everything I'm going to tell you may not be in total agreement with the things that he said, but the place I have seen is exhaustively discussed is Kenneth Hagin. He talked about Holy Spirit and his gifts. He talked about he gave gifts unto men. I'm talking about different books. Holy Spirit and his gifts. He gave gifts unto men. Ministry gifts. Those are just a few examples. And all his books here and there, he discussed these things. Now let's take them one by one. He said, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, please let me say this again. Paul said that before now, you were accustomed to the way the idol worshippers did these things.